Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Rogue Rebels Podcast. I am Sal, your host. With me is your other host, Izzy.
Hello.
And we are talking episode 7 of Ahsoka, which is Dreams and Madness.
We shall.
Yeah, that's it. Let's see.
The second to last episode.
Second to last. Penultimate episode.
The what?
Penultimate? Isn't that how you say second to last?
What a mixture of second to last episode is called.
Penultimate. I'm pretty sure that's a word.
I would not know, so I can...
Well, I doubt anyone will
correct me. Neither confirm or deny.
So, instead, I will give everybody the business. Check us out at roguerebels.com. No, check us out at theroguerebels.com. Where we have lots of things, including podcasts, and also things that are not podcasts. Ooh. We also are on all socials at The Rogue Rebels, except for Twitter, where we are Rogue Rebels Fam, doing all kinds of things. You know, I make TikToks once a week or so, maybe twice sometimes. Yeah. So, go.
Okay.
Like, follow, share.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Hit down that notification on that bell. Or whatever. Alright, well, you know, how you doing?
I am doing good. Haven't done much, just be working. You guys came to a Santa event
that we had at work.
Very cool.
Oh, we got pictures with the Grinch. I haven't posted them yet.
We did get pictures with the Grinch. It was kind of cool.
We got pictures
with the
Grinch.
Somehow Grandma beat us to it.
Well, no. Grandma got one as soon as we walked in. Me and Grandma. Your mom walked by and was like, I don't need a picture with the Grinch. And then I was like, well, I'm getting one. And Axel was like, nah, I'm good. And then Grandma was like, me too. And that's how that happened. And then apparently your mom wanted to take a picture of Santa, but we didn't. But I was like,
line.
Oh, yeah, there was a long line too. Santa involves talking. The food was great. I got a wonderful omelet with extra mushrooms. Fire was coming out, and we got to see the legendary ice cream man.
Okay, he's not that legendary.
He is, and well, so I guess so. We've only been to two of your events, and at both of your events. He, you know, made a strong showing.
But was it that strong? He just kind of stood
strong.
There.
He captivated us when we met him at your last event.
Okay.
When he did the ice cream thing. That's how he got the name, the Ice Cream Man. Because this event, he didn't really have any. At least I didn't see him doing anything with ice cream. But we were like, oh, there he is.
I've never actually like met him. I think I said hi to him once, and one time he was like, your desserts are over here. And I was like, okay, thank you. But that's kind of it.
What was I watching? Haha. Excuse me. What was I watching? Something, and I was like, I think I want to watch Rocky IV again. Do you remember Rocky IV? It's the one where he fights the Russian.
Oh, yes.
Okay, like, say what you want about cinematic masterpieces, but the ending of that movie is so amazing that, like, I forgot what I was talking about and what I was thinking about. But something made me want to watch it like in the recent past, and I was like, I really need to just go watch that because I just want to see the ending again. It's a good movie.
I remember I watched Barbie yesterday again. It's great.
Great movie.
And I saw him with his like furs and stuff. That's him, no? Right?
No. Are you talking about the kid? Oh no, you're talking about Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
The picture he looks at that then he starts dressing like?
Yes.
Yes, okay, yeah. Sorry. Yes, you're right.
I like that. I like it a lot. I don't know what photo shoot that was, but they did him very good.
Right, no idea. There's like so many stories from like the way that they used to make movies is just not how movies are made these days. So I would like listen to all these stories about like Sylvester Stallone's like, yeah, you know, I had Dolph Lundgren like when we were doing Rocky IV, which is Dolph Lundgren is like the Russian in that movie who's like a whole foot and a half taller than him. Like Dolph Lundgren is like 6'9" or something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, you know, Sylvester Stallone is not a small dude, but he's just like incredibly ripped. But then you also want to put him against these dudes that are like giant and crazy. So in this movie, it's Dolph Lundgren. And like, he's like, yeah, you know, I had Dolph Lundgren. We were going to the movie and I was like, go ahead, hit me as hard as you can. I woke up 3 days later in the hospital.
Oh.
Like, he broke 3 ribs and it like this. And you know, I'm like, yeah. That's not how they make movies now. You don't just do that.
No, and then, like, I don't think so.
I was watching some of the like on the Rambo, like the First Blood commentary, and he's talking about how, like in Rambo, the first movie, he's kind of like running around a lot, and he ends up like hiding in a cave, and like there's all this stuff. Like there's this real shady scene,
mm-hmm.
or at least like when I watch it now, I'm like, this is sketchy as hell. And it's like a helicopter is flying like on the edge of a waterfall and he's kind of like on the end of it. And then presumably another helicopter is filming that helicopter. And you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
When you think about the logistics of movies getting made, you're like, somebody's could get really hurt here. And he's talking about, he's like, yeah, you know, I was basically like tied to a little tree around my ankle. So if I fell, I would have just kind of fallen a little bit and then slammed against the rocks, you know, but not fell to my death, you know? And then he talks about how he, like, there's a scene where he, like, runs into the cave and they're, like, shooting at him. And he, like, the cave is kind of, like, boarded up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So he, like, you know, he, like, vaults kind of over some of the boards and gets in the cave. And that's the shot, right? So they're shooting at him. So all the squibs are going off. You know what a squib is, Lizzie?
Squib?
You're not familiar with that?
No.
Okay. A squib is this little, like, explosive device. And that's how they make movies, like, back before special effects and computer-generated explosions. You would put a little squib in the wall, and then when you're shooting the scene, you blow it up, and it makes a hole in the wall. It looks like a bullet hole, right?
Uh-huh.
Or that's, you put it under somebody's clothes, and then put some, like, blood in it, and then pop, 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 and they have, like, 3 holes in them with little blood squirts, right?
Okay.
So, like, they're little, like, explosive things, right? But they're also, like, you know, they're special effects, but they're also explosives. Yeah. And he's like, I was running, he knew it, it's Sylvester Stallone. So he's like, yeah, I was running out, I was doing the scene, I was doing the shot. And I like jumped over the thing and I put my hand on the board to like, you know, jump over it. And I felt the squib go off on my thumb.
Oh.
And I was like, my finger's gone. Like my finger is totally gone. Like, cause he grabbed the wrong spot of the wood right where the squib was to jump over the thing. And it went off on his hand. And he's like, I wouldn't look at my hand because I was sure that my finger was gone. You know, he's like, but it was fine. And then he's talking about, like, somewhere through that movie, he grabs, like, a potato bag or something, and he puts it on. And he, like, just improvised that, and then it became part of the movie. And then, like, when you make movies, they're, you know, you have, like, oh, here's the costume, and here's the, like, stunt costume, and here's the weathered costume, and here's the one that we're going to get blood on. But, like, he just grabbed a potato bag, so now they're like, we only have one of this. And it was like protected like a treasure because if somebody tore it or lost it or messed it up or whatever, you know, like the whole movie would be ruined because there was no extra potato bags.
That reminds me of when they first made Coraline. I guess with the first Coraline doll, they didn't have multiples of the, like, they only just, they were very low budget. So they had like, she, I guess the person had bought like a, a wig from like a Halloween store, and it was the because it was the exact color and like material that they wanted Coraline's hair to be.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know that like they should have bought more, so they only bought one, and then they couldn't find it again. So they were like, "We have to be very, very careful because every strand counts."
Nice.
Apparently, for the other mother doll, they used the person that was like putting together the doll put some of her own black hair in the doll.
Oh.
I think can lead bad places, but. I don't know. Maybe I've seen too many movies.
Look, we're going to have to shave your head. We need to make 7 Coraline dolls. Coraline.
Yes.
I've been watching. I'm on a little like kind of like Mexico trilogy kick.
Mexico trilogy?
Yeah. Mm. You know, like El Mariachi, Desperado, and Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Oh, I see.
Because I wanted to listen to like.
It was like tortilla soup.
I want to listen to Mexican music, but like not normal Mexican music. The music that I like to listen is like Chingon and like the music like from those movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, but the only one I can find right now is like Once Upon a Time in Mexico is free on Tubi. And I used to have like the DVDs.
You don't have any, okay,
I had the whole trilogy on DVD, but like I don't have DVDs anymore. Now I just have Blu-rays. So it's gone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, I should totally look for that if they have it on Blu-ray. But anyway, Once Upon a Time in Mexico still has like the best opening where he plays the guitar and he lives in like a little guitar town. And like the old man is like, "Hey, I just like made this guitar for you. Like, please test it out. We would be honored if you would play it." And then he'd like play, you know, it's like, it's always like an offshoot of like Malagueña Salerosa. And it's like the best thing ever. And, you know, a lot of people don't like those movies. Or not those movies, but like the last one in particular, just because it's so bananas and out of this world. Like Johnny Depp has a crazy third arm for no reason. Or not no reason, but a silly reason.
Well, I was going to say, like, there's a reason.
Yeah, people are like, you know, El Mariachi is shooting fools and they're like exploding out of the bar and flying everywhere. And then I'm also like, this is pretty cool because they're doing some of the same shots. And I'm like, there's a lot of ale in Boba Fett. Like when... Robert Rodriguez does Boba Fett. He puts like some of that. He puts some of that like stuff in it, and I like it.
Mm. He should do more stuff like Star Wars.
I mean, well, he does. He got a whole series.
More.
Well, all right. Let's you, me, and Hawes pray for season 2, Book of Boba Fett.
Okay.
All right.
Done. Praying. From the 3 times that. Oh. Been to Sunday school
to the gods.
Alice.
No, to the Mortis gods. Or no, if we're praying for Book of Boba Fett, are we praying to Mythosaurs? Who are we praying to? To the flashback to.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know which god serves.
Yeah, he's very guys. He's very like, I owe my allegiance to no one. To whatever chain code is in his, like, 13-year-old armor or whatever. Like, these chain codes.
Where are you at?
What does Thank he show you. Him? Like, I want to show you something. It's my father, Jango Fett. I'm praying to a simple man making his way through the galaxy like his father before him.
Okay. Fair enough. That works.
All right. Should we talk about the show now?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you sure we're done with Mariachi? I don't think you ever watched those full movies, huh?
What's the closest mariachi band there is in Star Wars? Like there should be a mariachi.
There has to be something with a guitar.
In Star Wars. Does anyone play the guitar in Star Wars?
Well, they have a Halleck set. And they always play a Halleck set.
What?
It's a Halleck set. Sabe plays a Halleck set. It looks like a guitar. It looks like a 12-string kind of. But like all dolled up, especially the dude that played it at like the Halcyon. But like it's in other music too. It's in Jedi Fallen Order. It's in like Sabe is described as being really good at it. But I'm trying to think of like a band that specifically uses that. Because like even in like the Book of Boba Fett, Like the Max Rebo dance. Like there's a guy kind of playing like a little guitar kind of thing when Max Rebo's like doing a little cover. But it's not like full on hardcore. And then I'm trying to think of other stuff with guitars. And all I can think of is like the Who from Fallen Order. And then like the like really cool rock song at the end of season two of Star Wars Rebels when Ezra's like, "Well, we're gonna go on this mission, Zeb. I guess I'll talk to you later." And Zeb's like, "Yeah, the war's gonna be over soon." And there's like a little like bah, 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 meow, like Zeb rock song, but it's like not
Yeah, I
like
guess
it
so.
is guitar, but it's not like Mexican music at all. It's just very like rocky, kind of like classic rock vibe. But yeah, Star Wars music is cool. Let's see.
This episode, though.
This episode, though. So we open and we got like Hera going to her court
Meeting her,
martial. This is a
yeah,
court martial.
with Ziono, but the stinky
Yeah,
Ziono.
jerk Ziono. By the way, thank you, Kazuda Ziono, for liking and commenting on our post on
Huh?
Instagram recently. I don't know. He comments every now and then, and like I'm like, live action
Like an
Kazuda
account
Ziono.
of Kazuda,
No,
or
Kazuda, Christopher Sean.
like Christopher Sean?
Yeah,
I was gonna
Christopher Sean.
like.
You've talked to him, Lizzie. You FaceTime with
Yes,
Christopher Sean.
I have. That sounds weird to say, but I have FaceTimed with Christopher
You
Sean.
totally have.
But I was like, "Are you talking about like an like someone made an account just named like Kazuda Siono?" Because some people do that, but like, no, you're
Oh, I
talking
would
about
not
Christopher
qualify that.
Sean.
That wouldn't
I
be.
don't.
No, I'm just
I
not
wasn't
gonna.
sure if you were naming their username or something.
No, I mean, like, I just put up a picture and Kazuda Ziono was like, yeah. And I was like, live action Kazuda Ziono in, like, Star Tours win. Oh, I wrote Star Tours a couple times last week.
Oh.
We hadn't done
Star
that in a
Tours?
while. Yeah, Star Tours. We hadn't, because we
Why?
always go straight to Batuu.
Yeah.
So we
That's
went
what you're
and me and
supposed to
Axel
do.
went and did like Star Tours for a while because the wait was only like 5 minutes. So we just rolled on through that thing. And we did that a couple of times. And we were like, man, this was cool. Haven't done that in a while.
That's weird.
Anyway, I'm thinking when they do new additions to Star Tours, Kazuda Ziono should be in it. That's all. Putting that out to the Disney gods.
That's fair.
In nomine Patris et Spiritus. Court martial. Hera's at a court martial. Chopper can kill Hamada Ziono.
Make it look like an accident.
Was about
Or
to. No, was about to
completely on
murder him in
purpose.
a courtroom.
Oh.
Until what's his name? Carson Teva was like, no, hang back, bro.
You gotta
Carson
make
Teva put
sure,
his
don't do that.
card Carson Teva held him back. No, hang on, hang tight. Apropos of almost nothing, I'm loving all the Mon Mothma stuff that we're getting. Like, I just love seeing her out there being Mon Mothma. It's just good times.
She doesn't her she deserves more than her husband and her child. Yes, that's all.
Well, you know me, like reading all the books and all this stuff, no mention of her husband and child, so I'm like, something happened there. So I can't wait to
They
see how that
died.
resolved
Oh
itself.
no.
Well, nobody looks like they died. Looks like they're starting a whole new life. Well, I don't know about the husband. Anyway,
What's his name again?
oh God, it's so hateable. What is his name?
Perrin.
Perrin. That's his name. That's what his mother named him.
What's
Or father? I don't know. That's what his
that
parents named him.
when
They looked at that little
parents?
baby and they said Perrin.
Someone looked at Mon Mothma and was like, Mon.
Mon. Yeah. And it never works either way. Because I've read so many books that have her in it. And there's like you almost have to say her name fully. You either have to be like, oh, Chancellor Mothma, or like there's no way you can cut her name and it doesn't sound weird. You can't call her Mothma. It sounds weird. And then there's one book in particular where Leia's like, come on, Mon, just talk to me. She says like just her first name. And I'm like, still sounds weird.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Oh.
So yeah, good times.
Well, I was gonna say, I'm trying to think of the weirdest name in Star Wars right now.
I mean, I think Ellen Sleezbagano is a pretty like, solid one. Ellen Sleezbagano?
Who's that?
He's the one that, like, in episode 2, he's like, you want to buy some death sticks? You don't want to sell me death sticks. I don't want to sell you death sticks.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't know his name. I didn't know he had a full government name.
It's basically, is the last name is Sleazebag with Ano on the end of it.
That seems... He's a little mean. Seems like he was destined to be a sleazebag.
Somebody, like, went through a thing, and they were like, you know, J.R. Tolkien writes, like, 3 centuries of history or something for whatever, Lord of the Rings, you know? And then it's like George Lucas. That guy's name is Goofy McStar Wars. Like, pointing at all the background, because it's like, Droopy McCool, Max Rebo, Ellen Sleazebagano, like... If you look at the background characters in Star Wars, some of them have pretty funny names. It's pretty cute.
Little character, little...
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Little personality.
I'm a fan. You know what I'm not a fan of is Hera getting a court-martial. I'm glad she gets out of it, though.
I see, oh no.
I like the mention of Leia. I don't know how... Like...
How she knew?
No. Like... Just in like I understand how this scene, we get a like if in a perfect world, Leia would have walked out, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So like we got kind of the next best thing. We got C-3PO being like Leia sent me. To do the thing. I don't know how much longer we can get away with that. And then
I think forever. I don't think we need to glue Leia's face on anybody.
I think Leia has a big part in these stories. Like, Leia's a huge part of the New Republic, and should be. And I think that character can live on. Like, I think we could put her daughter in it and just let her be her.
Mm.
Like, I know she's another character in Star Wars, but, like, that's 25 years down the road. We'll worry about it then. I don't know. I mean,
Sam Witwer plays literally everyone.
We have been marked safe from live-action Sam Witwer for 30 days. I don't know. I think that's a conversation that needs to be had. I don't know what the perfect solution is. I'm leaning towards letting her daughter just play her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, not really have to explain it further than that and just let it be.
Does her daughter do a lot of acting? I mean, I know she did, like,
she's in a whole TV show.
Like, you know?
She had, like, a TV show for a while called Scream Queens, I think. Like, so she does lots of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the answer is yes. But also, like, more than that, her daughter and her were very close, much like her and her mother were very close. So I feel like her daughter is kind of the person to, like, continue that mantle, you know, more than anybody else. And I feel like that's a good way to, like, recast, yet still show her the honor, kind of keep it in the family a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's not like I'm supporting nepotism, but I think in this case it fits very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know she's like a side character in episodes 8 and 9 or whatever. But I think, you know, I think she can be this 20 years earlier and still be the Lieutenant Connix or whatever she is in the future. You know what I mean?
I would be sad.
Yeah, but I think it needs to happen. I think we need to get away from this fear of that. Like, these characters and this story are bigger than the actors. Even though the actors are, like, a huge part of it, I still think that these characters can live on, you know.
So how would you feel if it wasn't her daughter, then, and they casted someone else?
A little weirder, but my hope is that I would get used to it.
Yeah, like Ezra.
Sabine. No, Ezra I got right away. Actually, Sabine I liked pretty
well. I guess Hera.
Hera's the one, like, I'm still... Yeah, Hera's the one I'm having the hardest time with. We've had this discussion. Once again, we know we're too close to the situation. We love Vanessa Marshall with all of our hearts and soul.
I saw a... website the other day. Yeah, because I saw like I you know how like when you go on Google and like sometimes there's like recommended articles. And I went on and it was like Vanessa Marshall claimed one time a few years ago that she would love to do Mara Jade like acting. And I was like, okay, thank you, Google. Like I don't know if it's true or not. I don't really care, but I was just like, okay, thanks, Google. All
Right. That sounds like a some that sounds like an like a Q&A at a panel somewhere, someone, and she was like, "Yeah, sure. I got red hair. We could do this."
So that was interesting.
Yeah. Oh, Google. Yeah. I do like
Fiona's being
her
a jerk.
I do like her costume here, like her like court martial whatever the casual, you know, resist. Oh, I'm sorry, I guess it's New Republic general jacket, and you can see her ears and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
I like Mon Mothma's outfits like all the time.
oh yeah, she's got
They're
great
always
outfits,
really
except in
good.
Return of the
They're
Jedi.
really nice.
The
And
joke was always like, oh, like when the rebellion times were rough and she had to get like a not a great haircut and like she could only wear that white thing and that's all she had left, you know. But then like the New Republic comes around and she got to get her stylist back. But yeah, Mon Mothma always amazing. I especially since Andor. Another thing that I've been constantly thinking about lately.
I think I like her blue jacket best.
I'm just gonna rewatch the whole show, I think, like during the holiday
What,
season.
Cassian?
Yeah, Andor.
Cassian Andor.
Yeah, you know, I know people be talking about their Spotify Wrapped. I got a message from Nicholas Britell because I was in the top 0.1% of his listeners.
I was
Nicholas
point.
Britell is the guy who did the Andor score, in case that didn't come across clearly.
That makes sense. I was 0.03% top listeners of Steven Universe soundtrack.
Okay, almost as cool. My top two, it was like it was Nicholas Britell and then Kiner. So,
Nice.
on brand for me. That's fair. That's fair. Oddly enough, no. Once Upon a Time in Mexico soundtrack was like way lower. Weird. Whatever. I like that
Part.
they like. Fixed it, like Hera's okay, but then like Mon Mothma has the whole like, but like really, are we really in danger? And like for me, I like a because I read everything, so there's like a whole trilogy in where Mon Mothma becomes the leader of the New Republic, and she's like, a lot of the one of the big th biggest things that she's trying to do is demilitarize. She doesn't want a huge standing military to be a part of the New Republic,
That's
because that
not
was such
right.
a thing in the Empire. So she's like, hey, we need to
Yeah.
demilitarize the New Republic. We should have like a small, helpful fleet slash military that can assist, but like for the most part, the world's in our place. They should have their own you know, their own people protecting, like whatever. And we can like assist
That's
at
fair.
times when we need to, but also we don't need to have a big military presence that we just take to different planets and destroy or whatever. And her like the way they always like she has like these two aides, these two bureaucrats sort of, you know, it's almost like the angel and the devil, the one that's like, well, we'll demilitarize, we will have no strength and we can't da 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 fight off whenever a threat, and the other one is of course, yes, peace is the option. This is what we should be fighting for. You know, but just the idea of like what do you do? Like after you win the fight, you're creating a new republic. And you want there to be better. You want to be better than the re but you're like you don't want to be the same thing. So, you know, the idea that they're kind of trying to scrap the military because they don't want this like presence of militarism in their government, her in particular. Seems like not a lot of the other people are on that, but I guess she got away with it because there doesn't seem to be a giant military presence.
Yeah,
You
it
know.
just sucks because now she has to worry more about the fact that there is probably a threat.
Right.
And Thrawn is coming back, and he like, not that he doesn't have an army, but he pretty much has a loyal army.
Yeah. There's like a Legends, like, this is like, it's not exactly like a leftover from Legends, but there was this very much Legends thing where, like, the Thrawn in Legends had allied with the Empire because of their military strength. Because then he could, like, he could almost overcome anything. And, like, so the idea, like, later down the line when, like, the Yuuzhan Vong and all this attack the New Republic and the New Republic's brought to their knees or whatever, you know, and it's like, oh, they invaded because, you know, they couldn't, like, the Empire would have just killed them. You know, the Empire and their military strength would have destroyed, but since the New Republic took over and their military was a lot, like, more fair and, like, less, you know, murderous,
mm-hmm.
now, like, that gave an opening for these attackers to come in and da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. So, I find it interesting that, like, I mean, this time it's kind of Thrawn. What are you typing?
I'm not. 1 second.
And, you know, he's just like, the idea is that he's allying himself with a stronger power, which, like, a little bit of that holds over from that to where, like, the Thrawn books that we have talk about how he's trying to, like, get to the Empire and, like, use that power to aid his people or whatever from this threat that it seems to be coming. So we'll see how that ends up going. If it goes anywhere,
mm-hmm. you know.
I don't know. We'll see. Shall we move on?
Something and I forgot.
Was it about something? A military tribunal?
No, but it was just about Mothma.
Okay, I like Mothma.
Probably just how much she is a cool slay girl, slay queen.
Yeah.
Queen.
Her, like, theme is in one of my top played Spotify.
Oh, her theme?
Yeah, from, like, Andor.
Mm-hmm.
Rad. All right, we got Ahsoka training with Hollows from Anakin. And it's so funny because she's, like, at one point she's, like, you know, this is one of the last ones he made. And, like, I think the idea of that is, like, we're meant to think, like, oh, he, like, recorded this just before everything went bad. But he's, like, wearing the, like, you know, Clone Wars, like, season 1 to 3 style. So I'm like, oh, he probably stopped making it when the war got kind of crazy and he had to, like, do a lot of war stuff.
He couldn't podcast anymore.
Yeah, he ran out of time to podcast. and she's, like, going through the little stuff with her reverse grip, which I like. But it's, like, funny because, like, all the little poses, very, like, static and very, like, small. And, like, when I'm looking at him here, I'm like, okay. But I do really like the fights when she, like, gets down to it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Like, so they fly in. There's, like, a minefield. And the Purgle are like, let's get out of here. And then
that
she's like.
That was so sad.
Yeah. They like it. Oh, yeah. So Thrawn was very much like, you know, there is another Jedi approaching. I did. What is this loose thread? But Baylan said she was dead. He's whack. Because he might have been
a Jedi once.
You know?
He was a Jedi.
How and cares? Then she's like, if any Star Whales come in, kill them all.
I like that he was like, kill them with prejudice.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like kill them, like, be racist towards them.
Kill them with racism?
Yeah.
I was like, how are they going to kill him? Like, they don't even, you know, okay, I guess they have, like, but they clearly had all these mines. And I was like, oh, okay. And then, like, the ship is shooting all the turbo lasers. So I was like, oh, okay. Because I was like, they can't get off the planet. His ship mm-hmm. can't get up there. So then, like, when all the ships started opening fire, and, like, I forgot about the ship that they came in, the, like, giant hyperspace ring with guns. And I was like, oh,
I forgot that they were in a ship inside of a Purgle?
No, the other one. The one that was attacking the Purgle.
Oh, okay. I thought that Ahsoka was chilling on the tongue of the Purgle?
Yeah, yeah. That was the part. And then they were just like, peace out, bye. And then Ahsoka's hiding in the bones. I do like that, you know, Thrawn, they like give the idea of Thrawn being like this very intelligent, like, commander without him having a fleet, which I actually think works very well. Because he's like, you know, they're like, oh, like, what do we do? Do we need to prepare for attack? And he's like, no, her first target will be Serenren, who we have wisely sent far away from here. I was like, oh, he's like being smart and also not having ships. Like, mm-hmm. You know, and then they're like, should we send more people? Nah, no. That's fine. Ezra's killed enough of us. Leave it alone. So I thought that was pretty good. And then also just the idea, like, he's got the little map in front of him, so it still sells it.
Mm-hmm.
They have some cool shots where they're, like, shooting through the map, but you see him, so. That's, like, a good, a nice little visual aid to, like, oh, look how smart he is. He's looking at maps. It's me and Silent Hill 2.
It's definitely for the people that don't know Thrawn very well. You know, because they just know him as a guy, I guess. Mm-hmm. Technically, just like Ezra, they're just like, oh, it's a guy.
Right.
Why are we looking for this guy?
Right. Like, we can see that he's a command. Like, he clearly has, like, the outfit of commander, and he's, like, in charge. So here's one thing that I'm still wondering, and I haven't quite got the answer to, even now. He's recruited the great mothers to his cause, right? And it's clear that, you know, their assistance is helping him make some of his decisions and come out on top. What are they getting? Off the planet, I guess?
That's what I was saying. It's like, I don't understand why Thrawn is such a big deal. Like, I don't get why the sisters are like, yes, Empire, cool. Like, I guess just because they get to rule it, and then they get off planet.
That's the only thing. Presumably, they were ruling that planet long before he came there.
It doesn't look like there's much to rule.
Fair enough. But also, like, they go with him. I mean, spoilers. They go with him, right? So he's taking them back to the rest of the Night Sisters, whatever that means. Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If this is their home... By the way, this planet, I didn't say this before, but, like, they're, like, the origin of the Night Sisters, where they all came from. And, like, their little statues and their, like, faces, a little, like, H.R. Giger-esque, which I just like as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the design of the Night Sister kind of statues and stuff. But anyway. Yeah, so, like, my question is still, what are they getting? I guess back to the other galaxy. Although, why do they want to go to the other galaxy?
There's a lot of questions in this series that I really hope that they answer. Because, like, there was a crap ton of questions. Like, with Balin and his Padawan, what do the Night Sisters want? Like... why would Thrawn even go back to the Empire is my big question.
I don't think he likes it here.
No, but like, why is the Empire's dead. Why does he want to, like, keep trying to bring it back to life?
Right. Well, I think that's the one that I think, you know, his military power, and he can really control stuff with that. So that one sort of makes sense to me. If we bring him back to the galaxy, he gets control of the rest of the fleet. He can bring all that under his control, and then he can be the big boss in charge and fend off any threat.
That's true.
You know, I get why he wants to go back. It's like, if I go back, I get 12 more ships, and then I will be super awesome.
Yes.
I just don't get, like, why the Night Sisters are joining him. Although,
they could find other Night Sisters.
Yeah, like maybe. But yeah, so he's, like, out here making smart moves. Meanwhile, we got, like, Sabine and Ezra riding around, and she's like, eh, it's complicated. I don't want to talk to about it right now. And he's like, all right, I guess.
Yeah, she's always been like that.
Yeah. The, like, what are they called? The, like, marauders or whatever attack. The, like, red-helmeted guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, here, take your lightsaber. He's like, nah, I'm good. You've been practicing.
Oh. Ahsoka reaches out to her, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So that's when she's like, oh, Ahsoka's coming. Like, she's good. And that's when Ahsoka knows where to go.
And Ezra's like, what do you mean she's fine? What do you mean she's okay? What happened?
Oh, and then she's like, yeah, I was training with Ahsoka. And he's like, what? I mean, no, it makes sense. And she's like, yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. That was cute, too. That was pretty good. Yeah. He's like, no, that's
their
fine.
Their interactions overall were cute, and I was glad that... I was worried they were going to make it... They were going to make it a little weird, but, like, it wasn't, like, that kind of weird. It was just, like, weird, like, oh, I haven't seen each other in a long time.
Yeah, I didn't feel like they made it at all... What's the word? Shippy?
Yeah, romancy.
Yeah, so I was very much glad that they were like, what's going on over there? Okay, wait, what? What? No way, for real, girl. So then they, like, Balin and Shin catch up. And then she's like, you're not going to help? And he's like, no, I'm going along a different path. Anyway, one parting lesson. You're, like, you know, you're... At one point he says something like, your ambition is dangerous. And then he also says, like, impatience will guarantee defeat or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, bye.
Then he goes to check out the scenery.
Yeah. But then, like, Ahsoka catches up with him, like, in a little bit. But so Shin and the pirates are all fighting. And then Balin fights Ahsoka. Which is actually, like, a pretty cool fight. Axel was, like, unhappy that he's like, he keeps cutting away every time they're going to fight. And I'm like, yeah, but if you watch the fight, it's a good fight. Because he was like, why are the fights not good? Every time, like, you see somebody's going to fight, there's, like, a long setup. And then, like, it cuts away. And I'm like, yeah, but it's cutting away to another fight. And then, like, if you look at the fight of what's actually happening, like, the fights are good. It's just, like, you just don't like how it's edited, I guess. You would like to see the whole fight and then something else. Because, like, we're rewatching it. And then he's like, no, the fight's good. Like, I guess, you know. He was like, well, like, in the prequels. I'm like, in the prequels, it's still cut away 17 times.
Yeah.
And then he was like, but in episode 3, there's, like, a lot of... I'm like, yeah, but episode 3 has one of the longest fights in cinematic history. Like,
the
no movie.
Longest and dramatic.
Like, no other film has a 12-minute lightsaber fight or sword fight or whatever you want. You're like, there's no movie in history that's ever done that.
You know what's a cool fight that's not very cut out much?
Hmm.
The fight in Princess Bride.
Even that's, like, 4 minutes. Yeah, that's a great fight. You're talking about when he climbs up the cliff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's got to be, like, 4 minutes. And
yeah,
there's a lot of dialogue.
I know. I was just thinking about cool fights that I like.
Yeah, it is a cool fight. So, Ahsoka fights Balin, and they, like, have a... But I love the pacing, because I just like samurai movies. And I love how there's a lot of, like, doom-doom. Doom-doom. And they're like, pose. Get into lightsaber position. And then they, like, finally go at it. They're, like, very measured, measuring each other. And then I think she, like I think that the ship's overhead, like, oh, yeah, Hu Yang, like, shoots or something. And then he's like, what? In the smoke. And then she, like, steals his wolf.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. He's like, you can't beat me. She's like, I don't need to. Gone.
I liked when, Sabina's like, okay, here's your lightsaber. And Ezra's like, what? No, it's your lightsaber.
Yeah. No, like, I gave it to you.
No, I brought it back to you. And he's like, no, you modified it. Here, you take it. I don't need it.
Uh-huh. He's like, my ally is the Force. That's all I need. Mm-hmm. And then he's doing, like, some super, like, wushu, like, Aikido kind of, like, style stuff, which I was very much a fan of. That was right. And then also he grabs a blaster 2 seconds later and is, like, shooting people.
He uses the Force occasionally and stuff.
Yeah. That stuff was cool. I really liked the way he moved, the way he fought. Same with Sabine. I always like Sabine stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, Ahsoka rolls up, like, Shin shows up and, like, throws him against the wall or something like that. And then Ahsoka shows up. And then, like, Shin runs away.
Yeah, because Ahsoka's like, well, we can help you, because...
Yeah.
She's, like, completely surrounded.
And she's like, no. Gone. Well, that was pretty good. And then she's like, oh. And they get hugs. And then she's like, look, remember when we were friends? And then he's like, hey, I might be going home after all.
Meanwhile, we're supposed to kind of know that Thrawn is, like, leaving Shin and Balin and everyone.
Yeah. Well, he was already, she was like she's talking, it's like, it's him bouncing off Morgan most of the time, right? And he's like, you know, she's like, well, they have like beaten and whatever. Or she says, I think he's like, oh, that is done pretty well, even with the lack of one mercenary or something. Because like Balin has gone missing, mm-hmm. you know, to them. And she's like, oh no, like they're going to be on their way soon. And he's like, Ahsoka Tano has lost the one thing she cannot afford, time. And aha, we are now 83% loaded. And aha,
my luggage is now on the...
Yes, we shall be on our way very soon. And I shall keep time as our ally. Ahaha, I'm so smart.
Does he, like... Because do you know, like, the origin of Thrawn?
As much as there is to know, I know.
What do you know? Like, did he go to a school that he became super smart? Or like...
I mean, he was always super smart. Like, I keep comparing him to Sheldon. Oh. He's this very, like, he's sort of, like, socially unaware, but, like, extremely intelligent in, like, these certain other things, right? Like, even as a Chiss. Because then, like, the other question that people ask a lot is, like, oh, are, like, all Chiss military geniuses? No. He is, like, even among them, he is, like, this very oddball.
Why don't they like him?
I mean, it's a long Otello. But, like, it's a whole... So he came up, he wasn't from, like, a... You know, there are, like, these, like, 9 ruling families of the Triss Ascendant. And it sort of, like, varies by generation. But, like, the Meath is the... Like, eventually he becomes Meath. You know, and they, like, find him because he's so gifted in school or whatever. You know, like, he's this gifted. So they, like... You know, they can adopt people into that family that they want to be, you know, to bring glory to their house or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So he's like, you know, he's like a merit adoptive of the Meath clan house or whatever, yeah. You know, so he's like full, you know, because he starts off, I forgot what his name is before, you know, it's like, Atsuo Orao Naurao or something. And then he gets adopted by the Meath and he's like, Mithran Nuro. And then he like, does his trials and then he moves up from merit adoptive to trial born and then he gets the like honorific Orodo added, so now he's like Mithran Urodo, you know, like, so like their names change every time that like their familial or hierarchy things. But okay. Even among the Chiss he is still a genius over there. But he does come up through that military. He gets merited adoptive into one of the ruling families. He finds a threat to the Chiss. Another whole civilization that's like using other civilizations to like almost like very much like the ancient Roman Empire that was sort of like instead of like defeating other cultures, it would like adopt them, like it would beat them and then it take them into there and like take their, you know, instead of killing them and destroying them all, it would beat them and then say join us and then they would grow and then they would be able to use their military leaders as their own, you know. Mm-hmm. Like that's what that other culture was doing, that other species, they're called the Grisks, and he kind of like figured it out, and he figured out that they were like behind all of the things that were happening and like defeating all these other, you know, wayward cultures and the unknown regions or wherever. And he knew that they were doing that so that they could consolidate power so that they could fight against the Chiss Ascendancy. And then he also wanted to destroy them before they could, like, gain their power. Mm-hmm. But Chiss can't, like, they're part of their thing is, like, they can't attack. Like, they're only to defend themselves. They're like, you can't have a premeditated attack is like, you can't do that with their military and their rules and their laws and their culture. Like, they don't attack anybody for no reason. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to do that. And so, like, he was in a few skirmishes where he was like, because he saw the threat that they were building and he wants to get to them before that. So, like, a couple of times he got into, like, skirmishes with them and was able to, like, oh, well, actually, the inciting incident was like they attacked this freighter, and then we came to, you know, like a few times he got away with something. And then eventually he ended up being on a what Hera just went through.
Oh.
Like one of those. And he was exiled. But the point of his exile was he was going to make contact with the Empire. And he wanted to, like, sort of try to join it and to infiltrate it, to be able to use their resources / military / whatever to help assist the Chiss. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, in the very beginning. It seems he never went back to the Chiss. And now all these days he's like, all hail the Empire, or whatever. So... Mm-hmm. People are like, is he just doing that because that builds him a following? Or, you know, did he maybe forget about where he came from and is just like, you know what, I got enough power here. I don't need to go back to the Chiss and protect my people. Because all the stuff that he was doing before was like to protect his people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe now that he became part of the Empire's war machine, maybe he just found all the power he needed and didn't even care about his people anymore. You know, I don't know.
Or he's trying to still build more.
Or maybe he's still trying to build up that power to, like, go back. But it, you know, he never made it back, as far as we know. Mm. It was sort of like a thing where he was going to, like, figure it out and then go back. And, like, between all that is when he met Anakin. It was during the Clone Wars. And Anakin ended up on a mission to Batuu looking for Padme. And he ended up, like, Batuu is very close to that border between the unknown regions and the, like, wild space. Where he ended up close enough to, like, go on that mission with Anakin, help out, do the thing, meet Anakin, and then leave. And then later, when he ended up in the Empire, and they brought him to the Emperor, he was like, ah, yes, I would expect nothing less. You know, I spoke of one of your people that I met a long time ago. His name was Anakin Skywalker. You know, and he, like, name drops him to help get him in the door. And then the Empire sends him to, like, flight school and stuff, so he has to go through as a cadet, like, but everybody else is racist because, like, it's only humans in the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, like, constantly getting in fights, and he's like, why are people trying to punch me in the face? This is bad. And there's, like, a guy that he's going to school with that's, like, starts off as kind of his translator.
Eli
Vanto, but ends up being, like, his assistant, being like, well, it's because you're, like, blue. You know, it's because of the color of your skin, Thrawn. They don't like outsiders. Da, 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 da. And he was like, interesting. You know. And he ends up, like, you know.
Thrawn learns racism.
Yeah, Thrawn learns about racism by getting beat up in the academy. By humans. So, there that is.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, very curious to see, like, where it all goes. I would love to see something really cool like Eli Vanto or the Chiss Ascendancy, but I doubt that's where this is going.
Well, in one of the comics, there's, like, him with all his homies, right?
So there's like those three books that take place in the Ascendancy before he comes over, and then there's the three books that take place after. And it's like one kind of details his whole, like, Imperial career up to Rebels, very broad, and then Treason is the one where he actually works with the Chiss people, but they're also, he's, like, working with the Empire, but it's also, like, towards the border, and the Chiss show up, and then, like, they don't trust each other, but he's, like, the link between both. He's like, no, I will work this out, and, like, my people are cool. And they're like, well, are you loyal to the Empire? Are you loyal to your, like, own people? Like, so it's, like, a very, you know, the book is called Thrawn Treason.
Mm-hmm.
But I think towards the end of the first book, he sends Eli, like, he sends Eli away from the Empire, and Eli goes with the Chiss Ascendancy. So, like, it's almost like he sends Eli to the Chiss. So there's, like, a guy that Thrawn planted with his other people who, I don't know, maybe a go-between, maybe nothing, maybe whatever, his link or something. You know? Mm. But now here he's been lost for another 10 years. So who knows if those guys... Is Eli still with the Chiss being like, he ain't called me. He won't answer his phone. I'm just here. Arlani, what do you want me to do? I guess I just work here now.
He left me all red. I don't know.
I just work here now, I guess.
Interesting.
you know. So there's a lot about Thrawn in the books. I just don't know how much it connects to this Thrawn. And, like, I feel like a lot of the goals may have changed. Like, I think he might just be... Because, he kind of started looking for power to protect his people. And I feel like it may have changed to, like, now he's just looking for power. He doesn't seem to mention his people anymore at all. But maybe he is. I don't know.
You know. I feel like he doesn't have time right now.
Yeah. I mean, he does play the long game.
The goal right now is to go back.
Yeah. So, I get the danger and the cool thing. I do like all of his little stuff. Like, oh, and then another piece on there. This is a thread which we have not seen. Oh, did we also miss the part where he's like, her master was Anakin Skywalker?
Like, he has to get the least predictable people on the planet. Like, in the galaxy, I guess not even the planet, mm-hmm. like, in the galaxy as the his enemies are the most, yeah. like, least predictable people, reckless, makes friends with random species, like.
And I also love that, like, because he can't, like, in, there's a book called Thrawn Alliances. And it's like a book that happens in two parts almost. Like half of it is like that mission that he was on with Anakin and Batu during the Clone Wars. And then the other half of it was he's in the Empire with Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. And like it's clear that he knows who he is. But Vader is like, we don't talk about Anakin Skywalker. Like, do not mention him again. And he's like, of course, my lord.
Of course.
And so like... Yeah, it's a really cool book. And then also, like, he knows who Anakin Skywalker is. He also knows Anakin is the one who becomes, like, he figures it out clearly. But I like that he also knows, like...
It's not hard to figure out.
Yeah, fair enough. But I also like that he's just, like, both parts of it. So when they're, like, Anakin Skywalker, he's like, this is upsetting. You know, hey, it's fine. She has no time to get over here. It's fine. Let's just keep loading.
What do you think he's loading? Like a bunch of, like, do they have?
I still don't know what's in there. We sort of get off of it. Everybody's like, oh, they look like coffins. Maybe they're just dead bodies for them to do, like, magic. And I'm like, is that really that threatening, though? Grievous killed them all. Like, why couldn't, you know what I mean? Like, if they had an army of zombies to attack people.
There was only one witch, though.
They have the three, right?
Maybe they're...
Oh, like, I see what you're saying.
Triple
the power. I still don't think that's... Like, this dude commands fleets. Like, why is he worried about 50 dead bodies? And like, I don't know what it is. I still don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. But I think it has to be something a little more substantial than undead zombie troopers. That's like the leading. Everybody's like, well, they're Night Sister magic. They can bring back this. And I'm still like, I don't know if that's enough for him to take over. What else could it be? I don't have any better ideas.
I think he has enough, like, people. Especially, like, loyal Empire people.
Yeah, he does have people that believe in him. So that's, like, the most important thing. Yeah, that's, like, the biggest threat, right? Like, his people seem to be like, Thrawn, yeah, boy. So, I don't know. We'll see, like, once he gets back to all those people who were, like, talking crap on Paleo and like, oh, we'll see Thrawn at the meeting. When did you say he was coming? I'm very curious about what it's going to take to bring those people in line.
I think just seeing him, honestly.
I mean, or just putting their stuff into his care. You know what I mean? Like, his, you know. Okay, fine, we'll give you two ships. Oh, yes, I can beat them with one, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, seeing results from Thrawn, I think, is going to do a lot. His reputation precedes him. But, yeah, I still don't know what exactly he's hiding in those coffin-shaped boxes. Mm. Like, and I like the idea that he gets back, and they're like, oh, the rebels killed the Death Star. I knew it. I knew. Like, I told you guys to give money to the TIE Defender instead. So then we built another one, you fools. And then the rebels blew that one up. What did I say? Why didn't nobody build TIE Defenders? Why would you build all your money?
That's what I'm saying. It's like they're so stupid. Why? Like, I'm wondering why he keep. Well, now why he keeps going into it, and he's like, "Yeah, this will be good. This will make sense." I don't know.
I mean, he's good at like working with what he's got. Yeah. So he's like, and you know what, it doesn't even matter. Regular TIE fighters will do fine. We will just lose 30% more. Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. Yeah. I'm still very curious to see where all this kind of ends up. But I guess we'll hit the finale soon. But this was great. I got to see Ezra in action, which I've been waiting for a while. He didn't get the lightsaber, but he was doing all of his, like, force pushing and throwing and, like, blasting and, like, running and, you know. So that was cool.
Yeah.
I was very happy for that.
I liked seeing him back. It was really nice.
And also to see him and, like, Sabine fighting, like, teamed up. That was cool, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Ahsoka gives him a big hug.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go and they're, like, on their... I think now, or is that it? Is that the end of it?
It's pretty much the end, yeah.
Okay. So I was like, okay, and then they go, and then they're going to attack Thrawn, and then there's things getting resurrected from the dead.
Yeah, that's next episode. And
then Ezra jumps giantly.
Yeah, we're getting there. We'll get there. We'll get there next week, guys. But yeah, I like seeing them all kind of together. Oh, there's like one cool scene where like Sabine's about to go and like attack Sheen, and like Ahsoka does the like, wait. Like, throws her hands out. She's like, let her go. Like, when she runs away or whatever. Like, when she stops them from attacking. But the way she throws her hands out, I don't know. It reminds me of, like, Legend of the Drunken Master. When Anita Moy does, like, the same kind of thing. Where she's like, and then she does the snap. She's like, let's go. It's, like, so rad. Anyway. Yeah, good times. She's like, nah, we're good. Anyway, hug time. The Hug Republic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Next episode is the finale.
Finale.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully we get another season soon.
I hope so.
Because, again, they just left with a bunch of questions.
Yep. I feel like we have to get, like, I know this is all going to connect in a Dave Filoni movie or whatever, but I feel like we have to get another season. Like, Ahsoka and Sabine have to get back to the galaxy, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that should be the first 40 minutes of a movie. I think that should be its own season. And then by the time we get to the movie, it's like, you know, Ahsoka and Ezra and Hera and Mandalorian and Bo-Katan and Boba Fett and whoever being like, all right, let's do this. And Carson Teva and Wolf, Trapper Wolf and Zeb being like, all right, let's take out this fleet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well.
Okay. That's a podcast.
A singular podcast, ready for the finale.
Yeah.
What I'm most excited to talk about, because a lot happens.
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair. Okay, we'll get there.
Soon?
Very soon.
Tomorrow.
Not that soon.
Yeah.
Less soon. Are we done?
I think.
Should we plug anything?
Let it be. Oh, actually, I have something to announce.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I guess the Star Wars Geek Girl will be recording a podcast in a few days.
Ooh.
So look out for that.
Will
just
do.
Just so y'all know, it's gonna be about Ahsoka.
Ooh.
And probably tangents of different things.
Right. Of Overwatch or whatever the hell you kids play these days.
Yes, probably. I'm just saying, the Moira, the character Moira in Overwatch is Mon Mothma. It's literally related.
Okay. There's no Star Wars skins in Overwatch, though.
No, but there's one for Anna that looks like a Mandalorian skin that I showed you.
I have an actual Mandalorian skin in Fortnite, though.
True.
You know what I'm waiting for, though, Fortnite? Where's my Sabine Wren kit? I was expecting that with Ahsoka, and I just got Ahsoka. And, like, that's fine. Thank you. I like the Convor backpack. But I would like a Sabine Wren. Please and thank you.
I have a skin that I got, like, when I first started playing over Fortnite. It looks pretty much exactly like Sabine. And she has, like, she's a graffiti artist. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they, like, did the, like, OG map or something?
Mm-hmm.
Axel was very excited. And I was like, I don't know where anything is.
Oh, I should play, because there's, like, one little spot that I really like. And it's, like, this little circle of trees on a hill. And I always just, like, I don't, there's nothing really there. Like, it's just I like going and I like flying and then, like, just, like, floating down in the circle.
That was your spot, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember, like, I don't know the map very well. But I just remember being like, I don't know. Not used to this. There's no cool. I have like a little island that I like to go to sometimes in the beginning. Yeah. Anyway. Catch me on Fortnite sometimes. Being a Star Wars.
Running around shooting. How about that?
You know what you're going to find me doing? Not building.
Why not?
Because I don't want to build. Oh, you know what? Oh, were you there? Did you go see the Marvels with us?
No.
Oh. Anyway, there's a character in the Marvels with a hammer, and that character fights, and there was hammer choreography, and I was like, me in Fortnite. Because all I could think of was when I had the hammer, I was like, oh, that's that move. That's my move right there. Anyway, Marvels, good times, fun times. Okay, well, catch us on Fortnite or on Twitch or playing Jedi Survivor or making costumes, or I also got a Minecraft little add-on that's a whole like Jedi journey. Axel beat it in like 2 days, but I'm gonna stream it, dang it. So you're gonna watch me play Minecraft. I think it's like a story, so I think I can get away with it, because most of Minecraft is just, I don't know, build a farm or something, do whatever you want. It's like no story in it, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do. I would just like to get in the water, I guess. Yeah.
Right. I will be playing Overwatch, and I will be playing as Moira just so I can hear Mon Mothma. Okay. There's also, like, you can get gold weapons for, like, characters that you really like to play, but you have to, like, do a bunch of, like, ranked games. Mm-hmm. And cry about it, because ranked games kind of suck. But, for her character, I got her like, she doesn't have a weapon. She's, like, this scientist who's, like, she's a scientist that, like, I don't want to say she wants to create, like, good things for the world. She doesn't, because she, like, does. She, like, enhances people, but it pretty much makes them monsters. But they're technically enhanced. But like her, like, instead of having a gun or anything, she, like, morphed her body for one hand, it's to heal people, and then one hand is to take, like, life force. So she doesn't have a weapon. So when you give her a gold weapon, it makes her nails gold. Okay. So now Mon Mothma's nails are gold.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, Andor's really good.
It is.
That is all. Okay. Go watch Ahsoka or Andor. Or both. I sent a message to my mom. We got her a frame for Christmas.
Grandma looks like Mon Mothma.
Yes, that's fair. And the girl in the, like, Columbia pictures or whatever. So we got her one. I need to send you the information on how to do this. Because we got her a frame that, like, is connected to Wi-Fi so we can update it. Like, we can send new pictures. So I sent a bunch of pictures this weekend from your event. And then you can also send her, like, little messages. So, like, on her, on her little frame, it'll be like a little gift will just bounce across the screen. And then.
Computer shut down. Sorry.
And then, so you can send, and, like, a little gift will bounce across her screen. Mm-hmm. And then she can, like, touch it, and it'll be like, happy holidays from Sal, or what, you know, like, you can put the message to say whatever you want. So I sent her one this weekend that was like, hey, I hope you had a good week at Sunday. You know, have a glass of wine and watch something. Maybe Andor. So we'll see if my mom watches Andor.
You should tell her, send her photos of like, someone, I don't know who, because I'm not that great at editing, but they should edit like Christmas photos and Christmas like gift, not gift cards, like cards and stuff that have Jesus on them and like replace it with Ezra. Like live action Ezra, and then we could just start sending those to her. And then if she's like, what? That doesn't look like Jesus. Be like, well, Jesus is technically supposed to be brown.
Protégeme, Señor, con tu espíritu.
This is a actual, like, photo of what Jesus is supposed to look like. That.
Protégeme, Señor, con tu espíritu.
So this is actually accurate. Yes. Don't look it up, though.
Shout out to Ezra, accurate Ezra. All right. Well, I look forward to hearing some Star Wars Geek Girl, and you can catch us on this episode next week where we'll be talking the finale, and it should be a good time. We got some cool stuff lined up, and it's holiday season. Go love your loved ones. Send hugs, send gifts, send kisses, send lightsabers. Do whatever you got to do. Make food. Eat it.
I was going to say, like, speaking of lightsabers, of how, like, that was when I was like, I don't think Santa is real, and I don't think Santa gave us these lightsabers. But then, like, every time I would be like, is Santa real? Mom would be like, I don't know, I guess he's not going to get you presents. And I was like, damn, I must believe in this guy.
It's faith.
Yeah, faith is bringing the presents. But, again, like I said this, when we were at the Santa event. Mm-hmm. But Mom did a really... You and Mom did a really good job on those presents. Mm-hmm. Like, first, the presents in question were good.
Hey, first of all, anybody, any kid jump off spoilers for Christmas? It's Christmas spoilers. I'm about to go into this podcast, so, you know.
And then hey, Mom bye. Would, like... Like, because I could never find it. She would have different wrapping paper for Santa's gifts. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that was interesting because I couldn't find it anywhere in the house. Mm-hmm. Like, I would look in the wrapping paper and I'd be like, huh, that wrapping paper isn't in here. So, like, I guess, like, it maybe Mom put it somewhere else.
It must have come from the North Pole.
I couldn't find it. And then I was like, man, maybe that's right. Maybe. And then the only thing was, like, her handwriting. It was a bit different. But I think there was one year where she made it just her handwriting. And I was like, And then you guys were like, lightsabers! Santa got you lightsabers! I was like, I don't know about this. Like, yes, thank you very much. I love the lightsabers. But I don't know about this.
No, you were determined.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
That's what you said? Is that what you're going to describe me?
No, I mean, sure. Okay.
That was all. I needed to share that because okay. I saw the lightsabers and you were like, holidays. And I was like, the lightsabers.
Okay. Holiday lightsabers. Start bringing those to your events.
Yeah.
All right. Good times. Catch us next week, catch Rogue Rebels, and catch plenty of stuff over the holidays. Maybe even some more Afra. Right, Lizzie?
Yes.
Right, Lizzie?
Afra. Right. Also, you gave me those like Star Wars Insider like magazines, uh-huh. And there's a bunch of... Because I found there was just one that was like pretty much like Rogue One. And so okay. Almost all... Not all of them, because I haven't done it yet. But there's a lot of... Like, because I'm cutting some photos out, because I'm like, oh, that's a really cool photo. Cut, 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 cut. But any that have, what's his name? Why do I forget his name?
Cassian.
No.
Baze. Chirrut.
No. No.
Krennic. Is it anybody from Rogue One?
Yes.
How many
it's
more
the little guy. It's the cute little guy.
Bodhi Rook.
Yes. Pow.
Oh.
So, like, his photos, if you see them... They're all, like, cutouts of his face, and they're of little hearts.
Riz Ahmed?
Yes.
I think your mom's coworker, at one point, like, back when that came out, she really liked Riz Ahmed. but she didn't like Star Wars. And I was like, oh, he's in like Rogue One. And she's like, really? And then like, I think I remember her, like we had told her a couple of times and I was like, oh yeah, you should watch Rogue One because he's in it. And then she was like, okay, like, is he in it a lot? Because I don't want to waste my time. And I was like, actually, he's in quite a bit. Like, he's kind of one of the main crew.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if she ever watched
it. He's also in Nimona.
And he's in, what else did I watch? Oh, it was Night Stalker. It was a different movie.
I like that his character pretty much looked like him, too. The main character of Nimona.
Fair enough.
Just a little buffer.
A little buffer. Buff Kaz win. Live action Buff Kaz on Star Tours. Hashtag live action Buff Kaz on Star Tours. Yes. Start the movement, people. I'm with it. All right. Catch you guys next week, and we will talk the finale of Ahsoka just before the holidays.
Finale made me cry.
And all I want for Christmas is Rogue One or Andor Season 2.
I was going to say, you're going to get copyrighted, Dad, for the holidays.
I like that Mariah Carey kind of leaned into it and made a commercial about them unfreezing her for the holidays. That's pretty good.
I thought that was fake. That's real?
I'm pretty sure that's real.
I thought someone like made like that just... as a meme. Interesting. That's kind of funny.
Now I'm not so sure, but I thought it was her, so maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
I feel like I know what Mariah Carey looks like. Alright. Peace out, everybody. Yeah.